Good morning. How's everyone doing? I hope and trust everyone had a good 4th of July holiday. Everyone still have your 10 fingers? Good. Wonderful. No accidents or explosions. Wonderful. Well, it is so good to see you all here this morning and to worship together. I want to go ahead and dismiss the Revolution kids that are here. Man, we're so glad you're here. Yeah. Hey, in case you didn't know, some of these kids are going to be going and spending the week at Camp Lucon this week, which is awesome. So be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for those young people and how they will experience God, kind of new pace, you know, out in the great outdoors, doing things like rock climbing and zip lining and canoeing that they don't always get to do. And it's just a great ministry of our larger church. And so just be in prayer for those students. You can also be in prayer for Matt and I, because we're going to camp as well this week. Matt Wallace, my Matt. We're going to call him my Matt. So you'll hear more about this next week. Camp Lucon is near and dear to our hearts. It's played a really important formative role in my life. Spoiler alert for next week. It's where I met Matt. And so we just kind of began in ministry together there. So I haven't been in like 7 years for summer camp. And Matt has led a camp every single summer since then. Really for the past 8 years, I think. Great Outdoors. Don't be jealous. But rock climbing, like I said, rappelling. We're going whitewater rafting, caving, like a 5-mile canoe trip. So pray for me. Because Mama doesn't do all that she used to when she was at camp. But no, I'm excited. But you can pray for us and for the ministry that God's going to do there this week. And then I'm going to come back and tell you all about it. So, spoiler alerts. Man, if I haven't met you yet, I am so excited to this morning. I know some folks couldn't be here last week. Some aren't here this week. Man, that's just summer. But I am so excited to be here and to be worshiping with you all, my new church family. I can already tell that you all are just lovely and loving and welcoming, mostly because of this right here. You see this? Man, I was in the sanctuary for about 10 minutes this morning before Kendall was like, did you? But we're taking care of you. I'm so afraid of running into this, and now I have no fear. I'm just going to go wherever the Spirit leads and not even worry about it. I'm still going to worry about it just a little bit, but I know Kendall was not alone in this. Maybe I shouldn't called you out. All right, he is not revealing his... Okay, got it. So I... Okay. I can already tell that you all are just loving and can take good care of us. But no, it is a joy to be here. It is a joy to be here. You all know that, and some of you maybe don't know, but for this my first teaching series, I want to share something with you that I'm really passionate about. One, for you to have a chance to get to know me and sort of my story and call to ministry, but also to celebrate the work of God in our midst and the amazing ways that I'm already seeing how y'all are living this. And that is the power of being community, right? The power that of God that shows up when we gather together. When we gather together. So last week, I talked about love, right? When we gather, there is love. And if you're already learning that, if you'd say, give me one word, Rachel, to put in the blank of what is the title of this, I'm still going to want to give you four, right? Because there's just so many good things I want to pack in there. So it was love. But I talked about how when we gather, there is belonging, right? There is relationship because we were created by a Trinitarian God, a relational God who designed us to be in community, designed us to be in relationship with one another, first with God and then with one another. So we need each other, right? We were not meant to live this life alone. All right, see if I'm going to work. Oh, here we go. Yes. Okay. We had some issues the first time. Okay. To be a Christian, then, in fact, is to be bound together in community. All right. So when we gather, there is love. But what you've learned about me, like I said, is that I also wanted to say, and belonging and acceptance and family, because, you know, that's how I experienced it growing up in the church just down the road at Middletown United Methodist Church. They were my family. They were the ones that raised me. So today, what I want to talk about, the one word that's really more like two, is when we gather, there is power. When we gather, there is power. So I did, last week we talked about Matthew 18, right? For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. That's kind of an underlying theme verse for this first series. Another one is going to be all of the book of Acts. No, I'm just kidding. Really, Acts chapter 1, okay, when it talks about you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In my mind, these were the two kind of verses undergirding this whole thing, right? But for this morning, to talk about power, I'm going to kind of camp out in Acts chapters 1 through 4. Don't worry. We're not going to read it all. You're like, and we're already going to check out. That's a lot. Man, if you haven't read the book of Acts lately, especially chapters 1 through 4, man, you want to see the power of God show up in some big and mighty ways, go back and check out Acts chapter 1 through 4, really all of it. Man, the Holy Spirit just unleashed, and it takes off, and it is a beautiful and amazing thing. So I just got so excited. Again, I have a hard time picking just one. So I said, you know what? I need to build up to the end of Acts chapter 4, which is where we're actually going to read from this morning. But before I get there, I want to just do a little overview, brief. I promise it'll be brief, of what kind of happens in those first four chapters of Acts that builds to the moment with Peter and John that we're going to talk about this morning. Okay? So here we go. Are you ready? 30 seconds or less. No, I'm just kidding. don't time me. That'll be scary. Okay, Acts chapter 1. Jesus is resurrected. He is not yet ascended. And he says, friends, don't worry. I go now to prepare a place for you, but I will not leave you alone. I'm leaving you, but you will not be alone. I'm going to give you my Spirit, and it's going to be your advocate and a counselor and wonderful comforter, wisdom, all the great things of the Spirit. And there in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, like I just said, the Spirit's going to come and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So Acts chapter 1, Jesus promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Acts chapter 2, I meant to say, I have some pictures for us to help this little overview not be so boring, okay? That we can visualize some illustrations. This is from a TV show that I stumbled upon on Netflix, but I am not sure, like, copyright and laws, and so I'm not going to tell you what it is, okay? If you want to know, if you recognize it, you can say it, but we are being recorded right now. And, okay, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The disciples have gathered in the upper room. They are praying. They are waiting. They are doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. Okay? And Scripture says, this is good stuff. Scripture says, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Cool stuff, right? Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is it, that Pentecost moment, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, of course, people saw this or they heard, they were amazed. And what's most amazing is that this is happening in the backdrop of the celebration of Pentecost, which is not, it's a larger celebration in the nation, of the people of Israel, right? So people from all over the nation of Israel, from all tongues and tribes, they'd all gathered in Jerusalem for the celebration of Pentecost. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the disciples was kind of happening at the same time. Okay, so people maybe kind of realized what was happening. They gathered, they wondered, because they saw these Galileans, but they could understand them in their own language. And they thought, how is this possible? What is happening? Why is it that I can understand them and they're all speaking, right? How is this possible? Some people wondered. Others said, oh, they're drunk, right? Do you remember that from chapter 2? They said, well, I know what's going on. They're drunk. It's early in the morning, but that's what's happening. So Peter, this is a picture of Peter coming out. The people have gathered. Peter sees them being amazed and wondering, and he says, no, we're not drunk. No, this is exactly what was supposed to happen. And scripture says Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, then began to read from the prophet of Joel. So Peter comes out of the upper room, and he gives his first sermon, I like to think of it, inspired and filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, this is exactly what's supposed to happen. This is the gift of the Spirit that's now been poured out on all flesh, on men and women, on young and old, on slave and free, to prophesy, to dream dreams, to speak the word of God. Right? And scripture says 3,000 were added to the number that day. Right there in that moment. It's a pretty good first sermon, huh? So there you go, Peter. All right. All right, so right after this, Peter and John, they go to the temple. Now we're Acts chapter 3. They go to the temple to pray. And they see a man sitting on the steps, crippled from birth, asking for alms, right? And Peter and the disciples see them. Yeah, okay, I thought it wasn't going to work. Okay. And Peter says, I don't have money to give you, but what I do have, I offer you now. And he heals him in the name of Jesus Christ, right? And so what we learn about this man crippled from birth, scripture says he was 40 years old. People were familiar with him. They saw his face. Every time they went to the temple, they probably saw him there. And so for folks that were gathered around there to then see him up and walking and entering in the temple to worship, a place that he wouldn't have been allowed to go, right? He would have been barred from. Man, that's amazing. So again, wondering, murmuring, the crowds, right? Like I said, big holiday, Pentecost, lots of crowds. And so they begin to question, and Peter again, I like to call this Peter's second sermon. He speaks to the crowds again about Jesus Christ, because people are going, by what power did you just do that? And it says they were looking at him as if it was by his power. Peter says, why are you looking at me like this is, no, this is by the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man has been healed. And 5,000 were added to the number of believers in that moment. Pretty good second sermon, right? All right, Peter. Peter, remember, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to overtake it. Right? Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, who denied Christ. Peter, now filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So what happens after that? The crowds are murmuring, they're wondering, and now, woo, we've got 5,000 more believers. This is a big crowd growing now, right? What happens next? Acts chapter 4, they get arrested, right? Arrested by the religious leaders who are trying to keep the peace. I'm kind of sympathetic. You know, they got this big celebration. They're all about logistics, right? Lots of people coming in and out of the temple. We got to keep status quo here. We got to keep everyone moving, everybody safe. Oh, by the way, that Jesus guy kind of caused a big stir. People are now preaching that he's resurrected, and Rome is not too happy with us right now, right? That was a pretty public crucifixion thing, and we just got to keep going, right? So they wanted to silence Peter and John as quickly as possible. Here are these people speaking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ that now have thousands of people following them. They're causing a stir, a disruption, and they get arrested. So here you see they're going to be arrested and then tried before this religious council. And this is the moment then that brings us to the passage I wanted to talk about this morning. I just had to set the scene. Because Acts chapter 1 through 4, it's so good, okay? It's so good, all of Acts. Okay, that's what I was going to, the beginning of the reason they, one more detail that I just think is funny, the reason they are arrested, scripture says, the Sadducees, they came upon them, the priests and the leaders of the temple. They were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They were annoyed. This was disrupting their plan. So we have to throw them in prison. Okay, so they're put on trial. They're going to be questioned, and this is right where we pick up. So I'm going to invite us to read together. This is going to be Acts chapter 4, selected verses from 13 through 30. okay? But we're going to read that together now. Are you ready? Awesome. All right. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, what did they say? You got it. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Awesome. Okay, I think there, I might have skipped the first one. Let me see. Oh, it's working now. Okay. We didn't read this part. So that's fine. That's going to be the next slide. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, and they were astonished because they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Okay. So they are released. They are questioned. They are tried. By what power are you doing these things? And Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit, they testify, by the power of Jesus Christ, we are doing these things. We are speaking this truth. It's not from within us. It's from the power, the Spirit of God. And the first thing they do is go back to their friends, and they say, man, guess what just happened? And we need to keep praying because, man, we could have been thrown back in prison just now, or we could have been killed. But this is amazing. The Spirit of God's been unleashed. And so they pray for more boldness and more courage in preaching the word of God. All right, so there are two things that I want to highlight about this passage for us this morning. Okay, two things. One, when we gather, I'm going to let you drive because I'll be distracted. Okay, when we gather, it's pretty easy now that we got through. When we gather, there is power. When we gather together as a people of God, there is power. And the second thing I want to talk about is that when we gather and we experience that power then leads to courage. And using this example of Peter and John, we're going to talk about what that power leading to courage really looks like. Favorite thing about this, I love this part of the story, when it says, they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, and they were astonished. This is Acts 4:13. This has long been my husband Matt's favorite verse of scripture. Why? Because he says it in his own words. He told me again, because the only reason that they were able to do all of the things they were doing, especially in that moment, looking down the face of these religious leaders who just imprisoned them and speaking the truth with boldness, the only reason they were able to do that was because they'd been with Jesus. That was the only reason, because they had been with Jesus. They weren't well-read or well-educated or well-trained. Insofar as they had spent some time with Jesus, and they believed, right? Their only preparation for this moment was, yes, they had been with Jesus, but it was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. Right? It was the power of the Spirit at work within them. Right? It wasn't anything that they could have done or achieved to prepare them for that moment. And I think this is important for us today to kind of pause and reflect on, because I think too often we tend to lean on our own kind of qualification, our own education, maybe our own accomplishment, to cling to that maybe authority and status, because that's where we're trying to figure out where we fit in the world. Right? Our place in the world. So I think too often we can kind of lean on our own accomplishment, our own qualification. But too often I think that that doesn't look like strength, like, oh, look at me and how well-educated or well-experienced or, right? More often than not, that looks like pride, right? That can just look like pride. Now, don't get me wrong. I think there is a place for well-educated and spiritually trained Christian leaders, especially in the church. This is important. not just for those called to be pastors, but for all of us who lead and proclaim Jesus Christ. There's an important place for that. But when we're talking about matters of the faith and witnessing to Jesus in the face of kind of challenge and threat, like we see Peter and John, there's no qualification for that. And what I mean is there's no excuse, right? When it comes to matters of the faith of boldly proclaiming in front of this threat and challenge of the truth of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that can disqualify you from that. There's no education that you need. There's no experience that you need. There's only believing, and there's only receiving the gift and power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we choose to live a life following Jesus Christ, we are choosing to live a life that runs up against the paths of this world. Okay, and what I mean by that is the world teaches us and tells us that we want to be successful, live a life of comfort, maybe even ease. Happiness is the goal, right? And to do that, we want security, we want a stable income, right? We want comfort. We want comfort. But the life of Jesus calls us to a life of discipleship and self-denial. It's a path marked by suffering sometimes, a path marked by sacrifice, but a path also marked with greater joy and greater belonging and greater purpose in life than we could ever find anywhere else. So it is not surprising where we find Peter and John, right, following that path of Jesus, running up against the powers and patterns of this world, the world that finds them threatening and wants to silence them, right? Because they're disrupting the peace, they're going against the status quo. So if we are to follow the life of Jesus, which is a life where we live for others and not ourselves, if we are to follow this life that's going to go against the patterns and powers of this world, then we better expect that we're going to have some opportunities like Peter and John. Maybe not being arrested. Some Christians do choose that as their witness, right? That's not everyone's call. So maybe not exactly like Peter and John, but yes, in terms of having opportunities to preach the word of Christ boldly in the face of challenge or threat. We choose to follow Jesus down that path, we will have these opportunities, and nothing disqualifies you from that. We can't use the excuse, I've not read enough. I missed that book, or I haven't read scripture all that much. Oh, I'm only a certain age, I really don't have that much experience. No, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh, on all people, on young and old, on men and women. From the mouth of babes, right? Sometimes we hear it. So we have no excuse. Not even the excuse of, but I don't know what to say. How many of you maybe have felt like that in a certain moment, right? Being questioned, just slinging at you these questions about your faith and trying to stand on some foundation. I don't know what to say. Jesus prepared the disciples for that moment when they might not know what to say because they were following Jesus Christ down this road of sacrifice and persecution. He prepared them for this very moment. In fact, in Luke chapter 12, he reminds them, he says, if you follow me, if you witness to the truth, you will face trials. You will face persecution in this world. And when that happens, when you get arrested and tried before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities and the councils, just like what Peter and John, just like what we see there, Jesus said, do not be anxious about what you should say or how you should defend yourself, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Do not be anxious. Another way that we go against the pattern of our world, right? Very anxious times. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. The Holy Spirit will teach you what to say in that very hour. So the disciples gathered together in Jerusalem, right? They believed, they prayed, they waited for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when it came, they received that power, and that power turned into courage. Courage to witness to Jesus Christ in the face of all threat and challenges. And I love the pace of Acts 1 through 4. This happens pretty quickly. Peter and John, all the disciples receive that Holy Spirit. I don't really know the timeline, but it feels like within 24 hours, they're in prison, right? Jesus said, if you follow me, you will face trial and persecution. But take heart, because I have overcome this world, right? I have overcome this world. So I want to spend a couple moments talking about courage, because I think we have this image in mind of what we mean. I've now set it up pretty well that Peter and John, the disciples, look pretty courageous. But what other definitions, or maybe when I say the word courage, who do you think of? Who do you think of? Soldiers? Who else? First responders. Parents. Teachers. Yeah. Man, frontline classroom, right? Tell my husband every day, I don't know how you do that. Teaching. Pastors. Man, yeah. Social workers. Anyone else? Picture of courage. Missionaries. Yeah. Absolutely. Y'all just, man, speaking truth all over me this morning. What's that one? Athletes. Yeah. Perseverance. Yeah. Submitting yourself to training and discipline and, yeah, absolutely. You know, speaking the truth of parents, pastor, you know, parents, I'm in this like 1 year and I'm already like, oh, yeah. Yeah, courage is just like showing up, right? Just like you wake up the next day and you keep feeding him, right? Like he's almost a year old and I'm like, yeah, can I use that word? Yeah, I think the best kept secret of parenthood, I'm going to say this, I'm going to spoil alert, like I'm going to spill the beans to all younger parents that come after me. Y'all didn't know what you were doing either. That's the best kept secret. You think before you become a parent, it's like, oh, they figured it out. Everybody knows what they're doing. Man, no. My mom didn't have a clue. I've told her that, too. No, I'm just kidding. No, they're great parents. Wonderful. But I said, oh, you didn't tell me. You didn't know either. Yes, speaking truth about these images of courage that we find. Absolutely. So I think sometimes, especially, you know, the blockbuster, kind of what's really popular right now, thanks to Marvel. Good gracious, how many more movies are they going to come out with? Right, but this idea of courage as being heroic, of one that runs into the face of danger to save the world, right? It's this inner strength, I think, we think of courage. This inner strength to do the impossible or to face down the barrel of death or threat and to do it anyways, right? And in some ways, we see Peter and John facing down this threat. But the difference here that I want to make between boldness and courage that we sometimes hear it defined and what we see here among the disciples is that for Christians, I believe there is no such thing as individual boldness or individual courage. This is not some strength that they decide for themselves that comes from within. Right, this is a courage and a strength that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. And, I will argue, from one another. Peter and John are not alone in that cell. They're not alone in that trial. They're in there together. And where two or more are gathered together, there Jesus is as well. There's no such thing as individual boldness for the followers of Jesus. I have one of my professors, Dr. Willie Jennings, brilliant man, just absolutely brilliant, and I wanted to share with you more of some of his words on this. The modern lie of individualism is most powerful when we imagine that boldness comes from within ourselves. It does not. It comes from without, from the Spirit of God. And so remember at the end of our passage of Scripture, again, they prayed. And the place where they were staying there, where they were gathered, was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That's what the end of our scripture passage says this morning. They prayed, they looked to the Lord, they were there with each other, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That was boldness and courage. That was not from within themselves, but from the Spirit of God. And also drawn from the gathering of one another. I'm willing to bet, you know, if we were to go back, first responders, teachers, even social workers, right? They don't do that work alone. So I imagine how courageous it is that they would also gather that strength, right? From the community of other people doing that same work day in, day out. So when I was a junior in high school, I attended my first Chrysalis flight. Now, some of you might be familiar with the Chrysalis or Emmaus community. It was quite a joy and surprise last week when I saw a couple familiar faces from my days in this community, folks that had served on those flights. It reminds me of just how connectional maybe we really are, but it also reminds me of the gift of the body of Christ, right? We're all kind of in this work together. You know that I grew up in church, and so by this point, junior year of high school, I would have said I was a Christian and even considered myself to be pretty serious about my faith. I mean, I knew that God loved me. I had accepted that grace and love for myself. But it really wasn't until this Chrysalis flight where I realized that, like, God expected something of me, right? Like, I had accepted that gift, and I was kind of living in that comfort, like, yeah, man, this is great. But then God expected a response, right? And that response was a whole life of service, offering my whole self back to God, my whole time and my talents, my witness, my service, all that I had for the furtherance of God's kingdom, right? All that I had to love and bless others in all that I did. Like, well, that's a really big request. You know, that's big. And it dawned on me then on that special, you know, set-aside retreat. It was a talk called Faith Through Action. And like, I had gotten the whole prayer, study, worship. Yeah, I show up at church. Like, woo, this is really fun. This is great. Like, oh, man. Now I got to do something. I got to do something about it. But I had been inspired that weekend, right? I had been inspired that weekend. I had experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, and I finally got it. Of course, we love others because God first loved us. Of course there's a response. That's what this whole thing is about. And so they do a lot of preparation for you for your next steps, or maybe fourth day, or I think it's fourth day in the Emmaus community. Yeah, okay. They do some preparation for you for that, like, okay, you're about to go back out into the world, and you got to be ready, and you're gonna receive kind of challenges and threats. You're not going to be in this kind of safety and warm Chrysalis Emmaus bubble and warmth anymore. And I knew, right, that if I was going to respond and say, okay, God, I know what you require of me, and that's to live this life of discipleship, that's to be different. That's to honor you above all else. And that's going to look different than anybody else walking through the halls of my high school. And I was not looking forward to that next day. I was not looking forward to that fourth day when I was going to have to walk through the halls of Ballard High School. You know, people knew that I was a Christian, okay? You didn't know I went to Ballard, huh? Bruins. Okay. B-R-U-I. No. Played softball, Lady Bruins. Awesome. I was going to have to walk into the halls of my high school. And, like, people knew that I was a Christian, but I did really good at, like, just keeping my head down, like, don't draw attention to myself, and just, like, assimilate and survive. Right? That's what you got to do. Assimilate and survive. And so, I mean, I wasn't, like, super popular. Gosh, no. It was just kind of like, do my thing. I had my trusted friends, didn't draw any attention to myself because I just had to get out of there in one piece, right? Do my thing. But I knew after Chrysalis, I knew after that experience, God calling me to be different, God calling me to not really care about what others thought of me or to really, that stuff didn't matter as much anymore. But I thought, man, this is going to be weird. This is going to be hard. This is going to be incredibly hard. I'm going to draw attention to myself. People are going to ask about it. People are going to make fun of me. People are going to, and I didn't really care, but it was like, but I just, they had left me alone, you know? And this was all before social media. This was all before, man, everything seems like everything you do is so much more public now. Pray for our young people. Pray for our children and youth. Because I didn't have to worry about any of that stuff if I decided that day that I was going to wear my chrysalis cross and maybe people were going to ask me about it at school. That didn't show up anywhere else on the interwebs, right? Anyways, but I knew that facing down that next day going to school, that was the beginning for me of learning of what it really meant to love my neighbor as myself, what it really meant to live a life of service, what it really meant. I began practicing these patterns that I continued to live out in college and in seminary of being mindful of those who are in need, of what does it look like to live with and be in solidarity with and truly love our neighbors and love those who are in need, love those that might look differently from me. I really believe that chrysalis was that first seed that was planted because that's when I got, oh, discipleship. This is what that looks like. So facing down that next day going to school, I reminded myself, I got the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just me where I can draw that courage and strength, but I know all of my other brothers and sisters that were on that chrysalis flight that week, they were all facing down the same, you know, halls of their different high schools, but in the same way. And I felt courage, and I felt power to go and to live it out as I had felt called, right? As I had felt called that weekend. That kind of courage and bravery. Now, I wouldn't say I was always courageous or I didn't always remember that, but that was the beginning for me. That was the beginning. This past Wednesday night, I experienced bravery and courage like I have not seen in a very long time. Man, some courage, some courageous people. I came and I worshiped at Celebrate Recovery. Now, I'm new to that ministry. I've never been, you know, I'd never heard much about it. And so I just wanted to come and check it out. And honestly, I was looking forward to just worshiping. Like, I was so excited. Like, Mike has got it. I can just be there and enjoy the community and worship. Like, what a gift. And I was blown away by the witnesses and by the courage that I saw on display right here in this sanctuary on that night. You know, another part of courage that I think the world teaches us, like not only does it come from within, like I am a hero, I am strong, I'm gonna face this down. No, but there's also this myth that to be courage means to show no weakness. To be courageous, to be bold, to be strong means to show no weakness in the face of challenge or suffering. But that's really not true at all. And this was the kind of courage that I saw here on Wednesday night for people to stand up and give testimony about their hurts and their habits and their hang-ups. Answering the one question, how have you experienced freedom because of Celebrate Recovery? Man, and the testimonies that I heard about how God had shown up, the power of God in that community to change patterns, to set people free, acting through the gathering and support of those people there. And it occurred to me, and I was reminded that, you know, true courage is being vulnerable with one another. It's not about not showing weakness. No, it's actually incredibly brave to say, man, this is what I'm struggling with, and I need your help. True courage is vulnerability in that way. And the truth is, you know, if you haven't been to Celebrate Recovery, come and worship. I invite everybody here to do that because it's not an us and them. No, in the body of Christ, it's just we. It's just us in this together. And guess what? We all have hurts and we all have habits and we all probably live out those hurts in different ways. But to come and to share those with one another, to be vulnerable with one another, I haven't seen courage like that in a very long time. When we gather together, there is power. There is power. Not from within, but from the Spirit of God, drawn from one another as we gather here together. And with that power, we can go and we can be bold and we can have courage to speak and pray and teach the Word of God with all boldness. Just like we see in those first four chapters of Acts. You know, a lot of people refer to you know, to the beginning of the church then as a revolution. That was revolutionary, right? God doing a brand new thing. And it was spreading fast. And I have to believe as I meditate and read and pray over scripture that God is still on the move, that God is still active, that God, the Holy Spirit, is still being poured out on all people to preach the word of God with boldness, to set people free, and to show up when we get together, right? To be a part of that kingdom of God. And what a gift that it is to be a part of that, to be a part of that work, for God to call us and invite us in to that revolution. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for who you are and for how you are at work among us. God, we give you thanks for this gathering of people, for how we have learned and experienced about your goodness and faithfulness because of the people that we are gathering around, because of these folks in our church community. God, we give you thanks that the life that you call us to, that life of discipleship, that is not an easy road. But you tell us to take heart and to not be afraid. Do not be anxious, because the Spirit of God is with us. That Spirit of God to give us power and courage and boldness in the face of all adversity. And so God, we thank you for that gift. We thank you for your Son, our Savior, that sacrifice who made it all possible. Otherwise, we would not be here today. God, we love you. We thank you for this gift of grace. And we ask that by your Spirit, you would make us one with you and one with each other. And we pray all of this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is how I fight my battles, right? Gathering to worship, coming to that table, remembering who we are, by what power, by what Spirit, together. This is how I fight my battles. So I don't know what battle you are facing today, this week, but know that you're not alone. Draw courage from that power of the Holy Spirit poured out upon you here this morning. Draw courage from one another. And man, are we not the church in need of God's power to go and build God's kingdom here? So friends, have a great week and be the revolution. Woo!